So we're backstage at the 8-course gourmet erotic dinner. They're just enjoying their arugula salad with pancetta. There's steak with truffle and potato foam coming up. And you will not believe how they serve the caviar. Some sensuous treats in store for tonight. And also some very sensuous and subversive people here. We'll talk to see what they're up to. Thanks for joining us. This is Sexploration with Monica on location in San Francisco.
This is sex. Everyone gets what they want. This is Sexploration.
Explore. Play.
This is Sexploration with Monica.
Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica at sexplorationwithmonica.com.
So let me describe the scene here. The chef is chopping up about 4 duck livers for the foie gras. It's going to have some fig jam, some brioche, and as the ladies kind of float through the dining room, they're wearing these black masks and crisp white shirts and little black skirts with black lace stockings and high-heeled shoes. And as each course hits the table, they remove an article of clothing, and sometimes they sing, and sometimes they serve caviar in this. Well, it's really special. In fact, it's probably the best thing I've ever done in my entire... It's one of those moments where, like, the angels sing in the choir, oh, caviar. I mean, I don't actually think it was about the caviar. I think it was about the presentation. So when we come to that, I will tell you more about it, dear listener. But let me tell you, it's all consensual.
Yay!
And now we're backstage at the Our Gourmet Life dinner, and I found one of the servers. Her name is Jessica Collette. So is this, you love serving at the Gourmet Life dinner. You do this for free.
I love it. I do. It's absolutely amazing. My history is in event coordination. I've been in the restaurant business since I could remember.
And this really takes up that a couple notches, doesn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many times I was serving on the beach and wish I could take my top off?
As we're sitting here, she's wearing, like, this tiny little white apron, some beautiful fishnet stockings. She's topless. I'm loving my life. This is such a good life I have. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Yeah. You're so welcome. And did you enjoy that caviar?
Yeah. It's a really lovely, special service. I actually, I had a new experience this time because I had both a man and a woman, like, offer, like, how would you like me to serve this to you? And I was like, I really want to do it off that man's mouth. Is that okay? And he's like, yes. And so they all set it up and they lay him out before me like a table. And he's got this, you know, like a little caviar on his mouth. And it was just a really interesting experience and almost, you know, intimate. And then I got to, you know, how could I lick this off of him in the most erotic and fun way for me and for him? And then I got to lick it off of my friend's thigh all the way up her thigh. It was really fun.
That was really hot.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for a month or two. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I met one of the people back in probably November. Mm-hmm. And we chatted and he kept inviting me. And just, I have a very hectic schedule. So finally, he caught me downtime in December. I was at home and I was like thinking of my birthday in March and what am I going to do? And he's like, oh, you know, when are you going to come to a dinner? And I said, well, do you have one on March 10th? And he did. And so it was absolutely amazing. I sold out the dinner with all of my friends. So
oh, cool.
It was completely all of my friends. And I fell in love. But even before the dinner, I'd already decided that I was on the team and dedicating myself. So I kind of help on the outside as well, you know, getting people in the door and, like, you know, working on all the outer end things of event coordination. So, yeah.
So what draws you to sex positive work? I mean, for some people, it can be even dangerous, you know, that they have to be secretive, you know, that they think that, you know, oh, if someone finds out about my other life, that it could be dangerous for my job. Do you feel that it is at all a risk, or are there benefits?
I've gone in a direction in my life where there's not really a worry. I mean, I have a very conservative family in Texas, so I do kind of, you know, I kind of teeter on that one, but I've kind of, living in the Bay and being so welcomed and so myself that I have evolved.
Authentic. You can authentic. Be your, yourself. You can be your sexually
that's such a beautiful
excited
word,
self.
Authentic.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know what? I have more and more opened up my world to other worlds, and it's a beautiful thing. And I just realized how open I am when I talk about it. People ask me what I do, and I'm like, oh, well, actually, I host erotic private dinners. Would you like to come?
You should see her facial expression right now. Her eyes are just glowing and alluring and flirtatious. It's really good. Thank you for yes. Thank you for all of your sex positive work. That's very nice.
Thank you for having
me. Yeah. So how can listeners find you if you, do you have a website or?
You can reach me personally for tickets at jessica@argomelife.com.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Jessica
You're
Collette.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So in addition to being these fabulously sexy female servers that are running around topless, there are also male servers because we want everyone to have a taste of what they desire. And what do you get out of the dinner? Why do you do this? Because you're a volunteer.
I get fun.
Yeah.
It's a blast. I mean, the people are great. The environment's great. It's a chance to play with the sexual side and
flirt with it.
Yeah.
Flirt with the girls, diverse set of people. You know? Yeah, exactly. Flirt. Yeah. And I mean, we should describe the scene here now. I mean, there's maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that's not even half the team. 5 topless girls in here. Beautiful men. Everyone's wearing masks. Now there's 7 topless girls in here. I mean, it's just, and they're all fanning themselves and wearing masks and tiny little, oh, and she's covered in lipstick kisses. That's so sweet. And I just, it's funny how, you know, the cuisine and the sensuality go together, although that's something that really doesn't happen in our culture.
It's true. It's true. It doesn't, I've never seen it anywhere else. And I'm definitely a big foodie as well. I love going to great dinners. You know, I usually am going to different dinners all over the world. My job is a traveling dance teacher, so...
So
I'm in a different city every week of the year trying foods at different restaurants and things like that. And the chance to pair it with playfulness and fun and boobies. And I mean, come on.
Boobies.
How can that be bad?
Right, totally.
So,
Have you experienced the dinner as a guest also?
I have. It's actually my first time was as a guest. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it so much. I was like, I want to come back and be involved in this. And they said I could serve. So
yeah.
I was there it's as soon
really
as
fun.
They said.
Is there anything that you think is... Because, you know, a lot of people think that sex is dangerous or that you have to hide if you're an openly sexual person. Is there anything that you've experienced that you had to push through or anything like that?
Well, it's definitely, I come here with my girlfriend, and that's an interesting interplay. I'm pretty open about things, so I don't have any issues with her kissing other people and things like
that. Letting other people lick creme fraiche and caviar off of her nubile flesh.
Absolutely. I'm all for that kind of stuff. You know, but
I mean, it's okay if you don't want that too. That's okay.
Of course.
Any value judgments, but anyway.
And my girlfriend's less than I am, like
less what?
Less like gung ho about this lifestyle. She's interested and curious, but she's less like, yeah, totally anything, you know. And so I think the hard part for me is knowing what's okay for me to do, you know, like, and
right.
So I'm constantly checking
in.
I just check in with her. I ask her, you know, like,
how does
what's
this
okay?
feel? How about now?
Yeah,
is it okay if I do this?
Yeah, can I go kiss this girl over there, you know, or something like that?
Right,
And we just check in with each other, find out what limits we have for the night, and each night is usually the same, but sometimes they're different. Sometimes, depending on the people and stuff, she's a little more like, yeah, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And other nights she's a little more like, I want you for myself tonight.
Yeah, get over here. Yeah. You're far away and I want to mm-hmm. cuddle with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sometimes yeah. happens to mm-hmm. me too. And it's funny how, you know, it's not even like a sense of possessiveness, although it could be that. But it's just like, you know, when you want to connect with someone, or if you just want to like go out and roll around in the biggest cuddle pile you can find, you know, it's so sweet to be able to share like all of that range with your partner.
Yeah.
You know, and not have to be like, don't ask, don't tell, or inauthentic, or pretending that you don't find another person attractive. It's
yeah. That's probably one of the most refreshing parts about it, is just being able to talk to her and tell her, I find this person attractive, you know, mm-hmm. I'd like to kiss this person, you know, I mean, I can tell her I'd like to make love to this person or something like that. It's probably not going to happen just based on our, you know, where we're at in our own relationship right now.
Right.
But she's like totally open to me talking about that.
Well,
kind
and
of
it's
stuff,
just your feeling
know?
And it yeah, doesn't exactly. mean you don't want to make love to her, and it no. doesn't mean you don't love her, and it doesn't mean you don't want to have whatever domestic partnership with her.
Actually usually makes me want her more.
Yeah, like, right.
As soon as, like, if I kiss someone else, then for some reason I'm all like antsy and want her then. And
right.
I'm like, all right, where's my girlfriend?
You know? Oh, that's cute. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to share about this juicy experience?
Come to it. It's fun.
Thanks. So I've been able to catch up with the chef, Chris, here at Our Gourmet Life's 8-course gourmet erotic dinner. He's just plating the caviar. And I'm kind of wondering why you invite 20 people into your home to feed them the most amazing meal. All this beautiful, sensual, erotic experiences. But it's just madness for you. I mean, you don't even get a chance to do a 5-minute interview. What's going on here?
We do it because we can. And that's not a very glamorous answer, but it's really the truth. There's nobody else doing this, and this is the dinner that I'd like to go to, so I have to start doing it.
That's true, but you don't actually get to go to the dinner yourself, darling.
I know, it's the irony of this, isn't it?
It really is. And tell us what you're going to do with all that caviar.
I'm going to give it to the servers, and they're going to offer parts of their bodies as plates to be served off of. And this is a sustainable hackleback caviar. It's also really good. Here, try some.
I remember the experience of she actually let me kiss it off of her nipple, mm-hmm. and it was heavenly. Woo!
Sure, yeah.
So you do creme fraiche and caviar, and then people sort of consensually negotiate what part of their bodies they'd like to have the caviar served on. One of the servers does this amazing demo on one of the other servers. I mean, it's almost like they're not servers. It's almost like they're muses or living statues that sort of run around and bring you delicious food and take off their clothes.
They're a lot of fun. It's I'm not so sure about statues. That's very interesting.
Moving statues.
Yeah, and this moving statues, and this one's going to be pearls of truffles for the vegetarian.
Oh, right.
So that sweetheart, these go for the caviar. The silver spoons go for the creme fraiche. So the ordinarily you wouldn't do creme fraiche with a caviar service because
why not?
It's not part of the caviar.
But it's so good.
We use it as glue, otherwise the caviar falls off.
It would fall off the skin.
Right. So the creme fraiche sticks, and then the caviar sticks to the creme fraiche, and you get this wonderful, creamy, salty, delicious, crunchy experience with spoons that cost $30 a piece.
And one was just dropped, but I'm sure it's fine. We're just going to wash it off. The madness that's backstage in the kitchen. At the 8-course gourmet dinner. Thank you so much, Chris.
And then we plate the lamb. Not the lamb. The London broil steak.
Oh, with the truffles.
Yeah, the truffles and the Brussels sprouts.
It's an exciting night. There's also, later on in the evening, there's a beautiful cheese plate. They're doing the chocolate souffle. And then they made actual nipples out of chocolate. Those are the truffles?
That's the black truffles. These are Oregon black truffles because they're the ones that are in season right now. They're not the standard. The French blacks are in season, but these are really good. They have a nice spicy flavor to them. And they're just really...
They look like chocolate. Big, nubbly like blobs of chocolate. Yeah, really dark chocolate, don't you think?
I think it looks like a cow pie.
Well, okay. Maybe I like to describe things more romantically. So you made chocolate nipples.
Yes, we did. We cast the breasts of some of our servers. And
more than one, even. Like, there's different ones.
I think
there's
we're at 15 or so.
15 nipples to choose from?
Yeah,
variety is the spice of life.
It's a complicated process to make those molds because we have to make food grade molds out of people's nipples.
Right.
Which is a nightmare.
Why is it a nightmare? What's the tricky part?
You cast them in a dental grade alginate, and then from the dental grade alginate, you use casting medium like plaster or sculpting medium to create a cast of the mold of the nipple. And then that has to be cleaned up to remove all the blemishes, like air bubbles and stuff like that. And then that gets varnished, so it's a shiny surface that can be used as the mold for the casting with the food-grade silicone, which becomes the mold for the food-grade silicone chocolate nipple thing, mold.
Right, because you have to make a relief of the mold that you made with the boob, and then because it's inside out otherwise.
Right, and boobs aren't shiny.
And you would need them to be, otherwise the chocolate doesn't come out looking right.
Yeah, otherwise the chocolate isn't shiny.
Right. Are the nipples are shiny?
Well, they should be. They look more attractive if they're shiny. I mean, they look like shiny nipples.
Well, they really look like nipples, though, and like real nipples.
Yeah, they have all the same detail, and like we've got puffy nipples and inverted nipples, and we've got nipples that are really small and some that are really big, and there's one lady who is lactating, and her nipples are very large.
Ooh.
So it's this big, massive, like...
Nipple!
And the hard part is getting a nice shape to it so that you don't get this massive piece of chocolate.
Mm.
So you don't want more than about...
You don't want a massive piece of chocolate.
No, never.
Although after 8 courses, it's probably a
nine
rough,
tonight.
Yeah.
And the smallest course was the watermelon.
It was really interesting. I've never had grilled watermelon before.
That's a trip. Neither have I. And it's not even my recipe. It's an El Bui recipe.
Mm.
A Fran Adria recipe, which is unbelievably good. But I need to go outside and get the steak.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
On location at the 8-course gourmet dinner, this is Sexploration with Monica in San Francisco. So we're now in the dining room, and there's so many beautiful people and glasses of wine and masked ladies topless bringing us a beautiful steak with truffles and vegetables and horseradish foam. And we've been talking about some really interesting things, you know, sensual energy, orgasmic meditation, masculine and feminine energy. And have you been enjoying the evening, dear?
Very much. It's been an adventure. We're all here because we're all looking to have an interesting dinner. I mean, if we just wanted to eat dinner, we could have gone anywhere in the city, at San Francisco.
Right.
But this is unique. This is different. This is a prelude to Saturday Night Adventures, the foreplay to what could be an amazing, interesting night.
So are you also going to the Club Exotica party tonight, per with me?
I absolutely am.
Me too!
Yay! Because I'm looking so forward to it. I think that per with me is such an excellent idea. Act like a cat? I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's funny how San Francisco has so many different, like, openly sexual events and places to explore and...
Well, I mean, half this table is going to the Red Party, I think.
Yes,
so.
The Pleasure Zone Red Party.
Which I've never...
Can you tell me more about that? Because my boyfriend's going to that and I don't know what it is.
I have no idea. So this is the thing. So Pleasure Zone, I've heard about. I've almost been to a few of their parties. I think that they have the same kind of overall expectation as maybe the Club Exotica parties do, except that they're just different people running it a slightly different way. I almost went to the White Party, which was a winter party. And the way that I heard it described, it was, you know, supper club, sexy... play, you know, not like an on-premise play situation, but flirty, fun, sexy, touchy-feely kind of thing.
Making out.
Yes, very similar, like I said, to second base. You know, but Pleasure Zone seems to do it themed much more themes, as in like dress code themes.
That explains why everyone over there is wearing red. Okay, that makes more sense now.
One of the reasons I didn't go to the white party last year was because I don't own very much white. Not including what I'm wearing, obviously.
Well, I could see why you wouldn't know that you could choose them, because it's so many other colors and so very sparkly.
Well, I didn't have this at the time. So now I could go to the white party.
Yeah.
But I couldn't then.
Please do, because it's really, I mean, that should not stay in your closet. It is so fun. Is it Indian or what?
Actually, I got it while I was at Vipassana. I had this idea that I was going to wear a sari to the second base party. It just came to me as I was meditating for like the ninth hour that day or something.
Yeah, it's a long day of meditating. I should describe your outfit. It's a sari. It's covered in gold sequins and lots of Indian colors and shapes. Did you actually, it's from India, I take it.
Sort of. It was purchased in Berkeley, but it sounds exotic.
Of course, yes. Well, Berkeley is very exotic to some, you know, if you're in the Midwest. I don't want to keep you too much from your dinner. I don't want it to get cold, but thank you so much. It's been fun talking to you.
You too. Thank you.
Do you know those people?
And I did. Guess who I found? This is San Francisco's sluttiest blogger.
Hello, everyone.
Fleur Delice, SF, or Vanessa Pinto. She's a writer. She writes for the Huffington Post and San Francisco Weekly, and she's writing a book.
I am.
And you can read an entire year of her sex life online.
Yes, you can.
It's very entertaining. There is thrills and chills and spills and cleanups.
All sorts of different
aisle
things
three,
that,
yes.
that are messy.
And she's here at the gourmet dinner, and you just had the caviar service.
I did just have the caviar
service.
What's
special about the caviar service?
You know, what's interesting about the caviar service is that they do it in a variety of different ways. They ask you how you want it done, whether you want to eat it off of them, you want to eat it off of yourself, you want to eat it off of your partner. The entire dinner is a very decadent sort of sensual delight, but that particular part of the dinner is definitely the most interactive, and it's just delightful.
I love the caviar service. It has a special place in my heart.
I know you do. I know you do.
This beautiful woman walks up to me, and she's topless, and she has this little thing of creme fraiche and some nice caviar, and I'm like, where would I like to lick that off of you? And then I was like hoping against hope, and I was like, but it's okay if you say no.
Right.
Can I?
Because we must ask.
Yeah.
Things are,
and it's fully consensual, and I would only want it to be consensual, right?
Absolutely.
I was, can I lick it off your nipple? It's okay if you say no. And she was like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. And then I was like, hey, go to town.
Right.
Swirly creme fraiche. Well, and like she arched herself over the table, and I licked it off of her, and it was this like creamy, swirly, fishy little bubbles popping decadently in my mouth as I was sucking on her nipple. It was so awesome. And an incredibly beautiful woman just walked by in her undies.
Very, very attractive woman in very, very attractive underwear, I will say that. Every part of that was attractive.
Yeah, that was very good.
I actually didn't actually lick it off of them. I had them lick it off of me and my partner.
Oh, really?
Yes. And
good
so
idea.
That part of it was really nice. It was like, it wasn't even a personal thing. It's like when they asked, I said, okay, you could either do it to me or I could do it to you. And I was like, no, I want you to do it to us. Like, that would be an even more sensual experience to me. So that's what we did.
Cool.
We had them do it to us.
And there's all sorts of little sensual touches throughout the dinner. What have I missed?
Well, in the beginning, part of it is it's just watching them be sensual with one another. It's watching them be sexual with one another in a way that the people that are at the dinner table are not allowed to interact. So you're watching, it's very much almost like a Betty Page set where you're watching women in masks and almost like a BDSM scene touch one another. And it's almost like a dance sexually to watch them with one another. And that's just their own thing. That's not something that we can participate in or touch. That's just for our viewing pleasure.
It's to warm you up, really.
Absolutely. And I think that part of it is, that was actually my favorite part, was to watch the different displays, because it's all over the table. It's from one side, there's one thing happening. On another side, there's another thing happening. And then on the other side, there's another thing happening. But either way, it's all decadent. It's all lovely. It's all delicious.
Mm-hmm. And any standout courses for you tonight?
Standout courses? No. I mean, everything's been delicious. I would say that the first course, the salad duck confit, was so far my favorite. But that's everything else has been delicious, but that was the one that spoke to me
the
most.
Do you remember the beet lollipop that was like frozen with
the
creme
I do.
That was interesting.
I did
wasn't
like
it?
That a lot. We got half of it though, because half of it fell.
Yeah, half of it melted, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so, no, I did enjoy that a lot, but I would have to say the salad was still my favorite course.
Right, right. Well, there's still more to come.
There is still more to come. Yes, there is.
Oh, and your website.
Oh, it's floridlysf.com, but if you just Google San Francisco's sluttiest blogger, you'll get me.
Yay!
Because I am San Francisco's sluttiest blogger. True story. True story.
And, you know, earned. Honestly earned.
Oh, I earned that. Yes, I did. I earned that.
So there are 20 people sitting around the table just finishing up their desserts as masked people in various stages of toplessness are offering treats and delightful sensual experiences. And I'm sitting next to, I think she is the best female rigger in the world. Do you think that's, I mean, you would know more about it because you're more experienced, but I honestly haven't seen anyone whose work I appreciate more. And she's also an artist. She wrote The Fine Art of...
Seductive Art of Japanese Bondage.
That's right. The Seductive Art of Japanese Bondage. I'm sitting here next to Midori. Midori, welcome back to Sexploration with Monica.
It's great to be back. It's great to be back. I'm just luxuriating in the glow after this amazing dinner. Woof. And thank you for your compliment, though I'm not sure if I'm the best female rope top. And, you know, there's actually a lot of women who tie out there. A ton. But... I think
she's the best. But I shouldn't be creating a hierarchy.
Oh. But there's a lot of fabulous women out there, and I think actually there's not been a lot of emphasis around women who tie. Mm. I think that's a bit of a disservice. There's amazing women out there who create beautiful pleasures with rope. So, yeah.
And Midori also does performance art. I could tell you about a scene she did with a chicken and a fist and a blonde wig, which I think had a lot of statement. You also did one about abduction at Feminipotens.
Oh, that was actually a political performance around civil liberties.
Mm.
Yeah, that one was pretty intense. And I did a piece recently around the dinner table, which is kind of appropriate for tonight. Look at all these people having... Oh, and the staff are just so gorgeous and mysterious.
I know, isn't it lovely?
I feel like I just walked into an erotic French art film.
Yeah, right?
Right?
That's what the idea is.
Yeah.
You know?
I do feel like I'm in an erotic French art film. And my guests tonight are wonderful. These are all attendees and the companions of Forte Femme, Women's Dominance Weekend. So... brilliant women. These are gorgeous women. There's writers, journalists, medical professionals.
People
There's,
traveling all the oh, way from Barcelona.
Barcelona, from Vancouver, from the East Coast, from Southern California. And this gathering, small gathering, and I get to lead them through a weekend intensive. Oh, and their companions. And this is absolutely gorgeous.
So tell me about some of the stuff you do with your Erotic Dominance Weekend.
Mm. So for the weekend, we focus on how to find your authentic power place. It's a feminine leadership model, but it is also about finding what's true to you. Abandon cliché.
And so you're not pretending to be a dominatrix or whatever.
No. It is about what would please you now. How do you hold space? How can you be true to your desires and appetites and also create an amazing experience for the one you care for or care for in the moment?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The one you're caring for by beating the crap out of, for instance.
Well, not so much beating the crap out of, but creating an amazing, intense, heightened experience. For some people, that's going to be physically intense. For other people, it's mentally intense.
Right.
It can be a slow, simmering pleasure, or it can be a boiling over pot of hot pleasure. And it's about stepping away from the cliche and finding what truly fulfills you.
So what sorts of skills are you able to teach?
Oh, a weekend goes by very quickly.
I bet.
We spend a lot of time on finding and identifying what makes a woman happy.
Hmm.
And I do a little bit.
Helpful.
Yeah. I And each woman has a different core of pleasure, right? So it's not actually the activities. We cover a little bit of the sensation plays, the bondage, the technique, but when it comes down to it, it's about how to extract out of the mind of your partner that which they hunger for, how to extract out of your own heart, soul, and mind what you hunger for. Mm. And then you take that information and create this marvelous menu of an evening's shared delight. Mm. So that's not an easy skill. You can have all these technical skills about spanking or flogging or bondage, but if you just kind of randomly string them together, okay, you know, you might hit upon a successful experience, but more likely than not, it's going to leave you eh.
Right, because it's not what you are into.
Right.
And so would people always necessarily know what they're into? I mean, you couldn't just ask. I mean, you could try to just ask them, but that may or may not work.
This is why we take a full weekend with a group of 9 to 10 women, and we dive deep and we support. Oh, the discovery is amazing. It's a slow and methodical process. It's totally unique. Yeah.
So, okay, so you dive into the mind and find it. So it's, and it, these are not just fantasies, but fantasies that you would actually want to do in the moment.
Yes. It's about real play for real people in real relationships.
How do you, I mean, how do you know where each person is? Because, I mean, I assume that these are 20 strangers and you're all coming together to, I mean, how do you get to a starting point with all these people?
Well, they get homework in advance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they get homework in advance and forms to fill out and questions to answer. Mm-hmm. And I read through them and throughout, and I find out what their individual questions and needs and stages are. Because I have people that have no experience whatsoever, all the way to decades of experience. They feel like they kind of lost the spark and they're coming back. So you've got this whole wide range. But the miracle is creating this group where they're supporting and teaching one another. Hmm. Oh, it's transformative. It's empowering.
What do you think is the reason for most people to engage with BDSM at this level, to like really take a class and to really get into it for a full weekend?
When they have an inkling that it could be more, that it could be fulfilling, that they could soar, that they could live more richly and experience sheer joy. They have an inkling for that, that there's more to it. Yeah. And they invest in their pleasure and they show up.
So can you give us a little taste of how to tease fantasies or how to tease desires out of people?
Mm.
Like a tiny little...
Okay. So maybe I'll ask about, okay, you know, what kind of kinky play do you like? And somebody might say, they like a little bondage, or they like a little spanking. Okay, that's a starting point. And then, let's see, now if I may ask you, what do you like?
I like to be a good girl.
Good girl?
Yeah. I like to do a good job, make people happy, be appreciated, and I like to appreciate.
And when you're being a good girl, right, and how does that make you feel when you know you're being a good girl to somebody?
Like warm and turned on and like I want to do it more.
And when you're being a good girl, what do you look like and sound like? Are you talky? Are you quiet? Do you make eye contact? Do you turn away? Are you squirmy or still?
I do whatever it is that I'm doing more fervently.
So then I might ask you about what are some of the fantasies that you have? What kind of fantasies have you had where you're a good girl? See how we're going with
this? Yes, it's working. Yes, I feel it's warmer in here. Midori, you're so good at this.
Art of a conversation, of pulling out
right.
what it is that you want.
Right.
And then, of course, I'm also constantly matching it with what my appetites are. And does it match? And how does you being a good girl make me happy and wet? And then I keep thinking back and forth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very clever. So this kind of also works with your oral sex class, because as I'm listening to your voice, you know, you really have this even tone and you sort of pepper in words that are a little bit sensual, but, you know, nothing too obvious, you know.
And for the listeners, It's oral, A-U-R-A-L.
Not just oral.
I also do an awesome oral class, which is, fellatio comedy hour.
Yay!
But, using your voice to create either calmness or arousal, using your voice to bring out information, little naughty confessions. Yeah. So using your voice to pace and change a person's experience, because everybody wants a good time.
That's true.
Yeah.
About the dinner table scene that you did a performance earlier, can you tell us more about that?
Oh, the dinner. Okay, the dinner, actually, that was very intense. I did what I called a shatter party, and I had piles of plates, and I had people show up, and I would give them protective eyewear, and then they would smash plates.
Oh, that's therapeutic.
Yes, very therapeutic. I mean, I had boxes of donuts. People didn't touch it for hours. They just kept going back and smashing dishes, a nice little line. But then the next day, I organized that, and it was at Femina Potenza. And I organized the broken dishes into what looked like a carpet, a rug. And in the middle of that is a dining table with four-plate table setting. But if you look at the table setting, the plates, they've been broken and re-glued. And you're looking onto this dining table through an antique kitchen window that's hanging in midair. So it's very emotional. It's a very emotional piece for a lot of people because they bring whatever it is, echoes, memories, and fractures of their family.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dinner table and pretending that everything's normal and trying to keep the pieces together.
Right.
All those metaphors.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
It was a very intense installation. And there was that effort of people coming together, shattering plates, and creating this together.
Right. Yeah. And also all the energy from all of those people and their emotions, whatever, gives them joy about shattering plates.
Right. Which, then afterwards, seeing this, there was also grief, as well as getting in touch with how much they've come since. Memories, wounds, raw wounds healed.
So you travel quite a bit teaching.
I do.
What's
crazy.
What's been going on in your world lately?
Let's see. I'm heading off to New York in April. I'm doing a rope bondage dojo there, teaching a whole bunch of classes. Oh, I've been doing a whole bunch of sex weeks in various campuses.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I did a presentation at Harvard for the queer student group.
Cool.
And Washington University, St. Louis. I'll be presenting at Brown shortly.
Do you change anything about your presentation for college students, or do you just let them have it?
Well, it depends on what they pick. So Pink Japan, contemporary sex culture, very popular. It's like a virtual travel guide, a tour of the sexual subcultures of Japan. Really cool. There's that. Then there's a class that I call Wild Side Sex, No Holds Barred. Ask me anything. Really, ask me anything.
What's the most people have asked you? I know it's hard to create a hierarchy.
Oh, well, let's see. I pass out index cards and they come back and they... Right. I sometimes will perform out the answer with my assistant, blow-up dolls.
That's fun.
And blow-up dolls assisting me. And so they can ask me anything and I will answer it. Lots of questions, everything from basic dating to technical nuances of anal fisting.
Right.
That was very impressed
of which
with that.
There
I was
are
like,
many.
Wow, and you, wow, okay. So there's whole range, and I'll answer it, No shame, no guilt, no judgment. You want to ask, I'll answer it.
Amen.
Yep.
You go around to different campuses talking about sex, and do you find that most of these colleges are pretty open-minded, or are some of them fairly conservative? I mean, they're having a sex week.
Right.
That's positive.
Well, obviously, I'm going to campuses that are inviting me. I think really what's happening is the students are taking the bull by the horns and making things happen. They see a need, and of course, many smart administrators are seeing this as an opportunity to do harm reduction, risk reduction, and educating. I've got a class called Finding Our Fierce, which is about empowering women. It's a little bit like Forte Femme, but it's not about sex, it's not about kink. It's really about finding our inner archetypes as a powerful woman. So the administrators understand that if you give a young woman agency and power, empower her to speak her mind and wants, then it reduces tragedies, traumas, rapes, violations, or even, that was not a smart thing to do. You know those, dumbass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've had those. I was in college. I did a lot of dumbass things. And had I had a little more sense, mm-hmm. And so,
yeah. Yeah, it must be so refreshing to try to bring the world that you would have wanted to these young women.
These students are great. I mean, they see a need, and they're getting together, and they're organizing it. I mean, it just makes me all verklempt. I mean, they just make stuff happen. They're activists.
Right.
Yeah.
They're like, we'd like to learn more about female power.
Yeah.
Let's call Midori.
It's great.
I bet. Mm. So do you think that the world of coming into female power, do you think it's getting easier now?
I think it
is. As in the last 30 years?
I think much has happened, and there's a lot that people now take for granted. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to keep... Look, right now there's that whole contraception discussion going on.
I know,
on.
Isn't that hilarious?
It's driving me nuts.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean...
But did you hear that Rush Limbaugh actually apologized today?
I didn't.
Yeah,
he
lost enough advertisers that he apologized, finally. After 3 days of ranting about this poor woman, calling her all sorts of things that aren't that bad, if you don't mean it in a bad way, but I don't think he's being sex positive about it.
Yeah, the way that we're... we can't afford this backsliding.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And we're arguing about contraceptives right now? Really?
I think there are other things that we should be arguing about. And
this one should be obvious.
Stripping away rights and civil liberties and agency? No.
Right.
No.
Well, I mean, I think it's so... We're so close to having birth control be a right, access to birth control, because birth control is so much better than unplanned pregnancies and abortion. And if we could make birth control available to everyone, I really think that this would increase...
Happy families of all sorts.
Amen.
Really? Happy families from all sorts.
Yeah. So in your survey of female power and, what we're learning and how we're changing as a society, what are you seeing? What are you seeing steps forward and what are you seeing steps backwards?
Steps backwards. Discomfort with the word feminism.
I know. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And then this whole thing around contraception, that bothers me. But step forward is the ease in which we can talk about masturbation and sex toys.
I know,
it's
isn't that
great.
Wonderful?
Oh my God, it's great.
Yeah,
so that's wonderful.
It is the safest and, sex, masturbation.
And fantastic sex toy designs.
Right.
Brilliant sex toy designs. No longer objects of shame, right? No, it's a status object now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mother recently was given a sex toy for Christmas and... Oh, I maybe shouldn't have said that. Sorry, Mom. Anyway,
hi, Mom.
It's like an art piece. It's totally the most beautiful tiny little thing. I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's wireless and it's many different colors. I mean, you could totally put it on your mantle like one of those little Ukrainian eggs.
Beautiful objects of pleasure.
Yeah. And I think that people are starting to feel like, oh, pleasure is good.
Now, I think I need to go attend to some details of my friends at dinner here.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me back. And thanks for joining us for dinner. Let me see if I can get somebody else here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so people can find your calendar at planetmidori.com.
Or you can also go to fhp-inc.com. Though Planet Midori is probably easier to spell. Go to Planet Midori and then go to my education site.
Excellent.
Yay.
And that's
you.
Midori as in green, MIDORI.
PlanetMidori.com.
Thanks. Excellent.
Let me
thank
find
you.
Somebody
yeah,
else.
Please.
Are you feeling limited at all with your cord?
I felt leashed.
Yeah, don't. I'm not trying to leash you. I'm sitting next to Ultraviolet. She is a dominatrix and performer. I've seen you perform at the brunches at the Armory. That was fun.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot of fun. And it's a great
party with a lot of people from the community, so we're all just exhibitionists out having fun.
And having a lovely brunch, sipping champagne. Well, you know, interesting things are occurring to people, like floggings and single tail whips and canings
and lots screams and lots of sex.
And lots of sex, yes. In addition to all the BDSM, there's also some sex. Mm-hmm. And some lovely French toast.
Totally. Yeah. Mimosas, it's lovely. Especially, you know, on the upper floor, their dining table, specially made for them. There's actually stocks built into the tables.
Oh, really?
So you can actually have your submissives clipped to the side of the table or stalk them so that, you know, their head is sticking out of the table and their hands are sticking out of the table. And right, you could feed them or not feed them through that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could do other things to their...
You could do a lot of other things and they can't do squat about it.
Not that they would want to. Not that they would want to, but they can't. So what are some of the things... I mean, you're not taking the class. You're the teaching assistant, isn't that
I
right?
I am the teaching assistant, yeah, for the class.
So what's it like being Midori's teaching assistant?
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, Midori has been like such an inspiring person for me. I've taken some of her other classes before. So I felt really honored to be a part of this learning experience for everyone and participate in this. I mean, I learned so much from the course just being a teaching assistant. So it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And I feel, like I said, I felt so honored and I have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your new things that you're trying and experimenting with?
You know something, I'm constantly experimenting with all sorts of things. Most people who know me know that I generally identify as a playful sadist.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to do mean things to wonderful, wonderful people.
Right.
And we get to laugh and ha-ha about it afterwards.
Right. Well, and all the endorphins. It helps with the laughter.
Totally. I think in general for this class, I just find it very awesome that we're, you know, giving women the tools to become dominant and not adhering, you know, throwing out the stereotype of what a dominant woman should be. And everybody could be a little entrepreneurs in their own brand of dominance.
Like, who really are you?
Exactly. And be very authentic in your presentation of your dominance and being very having an authentic experience with whoever it is that you're playing with, whether it's your partner or your spouse or play partners or even submissives or whoever it is that you play with. You know, you're giving a little bit of yourself and you're connecting with someone and you're gaining as much from that scene, from that experience, as the person that you're playing with. And it's great.
Yeah, that's why they call it the power exchange, because there's so much energy back and forth.
It is really a dance. You know, somebody is leading, somebody is following, and it looks beautiful when it's done well together.
Do you think that the dominant is leading?
Well.
Isn't that a funny question?
It is a funny question.
People would think, oh, it's definitely always the dominant that's leading.
It, you know, Zadie, I think it can be perceived that way, but it's not always necessarily the case. And sometimes what you can see with your own eyes as a third party could be a little deceiving.
Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly the submissive, if the submissive wasn't into it, they could safe word. So absolutely they have some amount of control. Some people, you know, want to have the experience of giving up control completely, but there's always, I mean, I think even... You know, even a real sadist, or, you know, certainly a playful sadist, you, it's about play. It's about pleasure.
It is.
As much as it's about pain.
I mean, I derive a lot of joy from my scenes and from my experiences with my play partners. And so do my play partners. So we have a lot of fun together. And we laugh about it afterwards. I come up with new and creative ways to play with people. And with my regular play partners, you know, I could just come up with something and they trust me, they know me. We have a good relationship, and we have a very trusting and honest relationship with each other. So I could do whatever it is I want.
Yay!
And they'll just be amazed by it afterwards.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So you're also really involved with the Mission Control community. Tell me about some of the stuff that you do there.
Well, Mission Control, I don't know if your audience knows, but it's a sex-positive space in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and we host a variety of parties, from tantra-centric parties to BDSM-centric parties to art salons that are not sex parties but social parties.
Oh, the Trickster event.
Yes, Trickster yeah. Salon. Mm-hmm. There's also the League, which is a...
The League of Gentlemen?
Yes, yeah. Ladies and Gentlemen.
Ladies and Gentlemen.
When anybody can be a lady and anybody can be a gentleman. So you're not restricted by whatever genitalia that you were born with.
Right. You can be a girl and still be a gentleman pervert.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. As well as swinger parties and, of course, you know, our flagship party is uh-huh, Kinky Salon.
The Bacchanalian freak flag sexy arty party, yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we host Pink, which is our pansexual party. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit casual, and we always start off with a workshop mm-hmm. in the beginning.
Oh, I heard you did a workshop about a common implements that you can turn into BDSM toys.
I did.
Tell me more about that. You're like, ooh, you can try this at home, kids. Hey, turkey basters.
So I did a class last month, actually, that I called Convertible Pervertibles. Where you can just, you know, if you're strapped for cash or just want to do something creative and unexpected, you could just use typical household implements, get things from houseware stores, art stores, dollar stores, flea markets, garage sales, toy stores. I mean, all you need is creativity. That's all you really, really need.
Totally.
I just, actually packing for that class, I realized how much stuff I have. So much stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with a lot of the accoutrements of BDSM. A lot of them are super expensive. Mm-hmm. But what's nice about convertible pervertibles is that you could maybe just be, you know, impromptu, spontaneously having sex in the kitchen, and suddenly you're like, wait a minute, I know what would kick this up a notch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And things from, you know, using, your pantyhose that you would have tossed away because it has a run in it. Well, you know, so you don't have to toss away just yet. You could use it as a bondage tool. Mm. Tie your partner up. And then when you're done with it, just snip it off and then you could toss it away. Mm. You know, reuse it at least one more time.
It does also make an excellent blindfold.
It does. I mean, there are so many things that you could do with all sorts of just typical household implements. And, you know, one of the things that I highlight on this, one thing great about pervertibles is if you accidentally have it laying around and your parents
no
come
over.
Yeah,
no one suspects. It's no problem.
Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, one of your perverse friends come over and you have a piece of pantyhose sitting on the dining table and it's like, they're just going to look at you.
Mm-hmm. They'll know. Although one thing I have heard about pantyhose is because they're stretchy, like sometimes they can stretch and stretch and stretch, and then like as you're playing, if you have it on too long, it can get on there too tight.
It can. So, I mean, with any sort of bondage, you always want to keep an eye on circulation, eye on tightness. So always check in with, you know, if you're the dominant or the top, you always should check in every so often, just make sure that, you know, whoever it is that you're playing with is perfectly fine and circulation is still good.
Right, yes. That's why a lot of people use hemp rope, is because it doesn't stretch at all.
It doesn't. And it's very strong, so if you have somebody who's very strong.
A little squirmy.
Hemp rope is great for that.
Right, right. Yeah. Totally.
So, yeah, it was a really fun class, actually.
It sounds really fun. 501 use for spatulas. Well, thank you so much, mm-hmm. Ultraviolet. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Monica.
Yeah.
Do you know those people?
I did.
If you are interested in personally attending one of the dinners, you'll need a private invitation. Send me an email at sexplorationwithmonica@gmail.com. And if you'd like to subscribe to Sexploration with Monica, you can do that on iTunes or TuneIn Radio. And you can always download free episodes at sexplorationwithmonica.com.